Good evening. I'm Jessica Markey, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Vincent Hughes of the 7th Senate District will take your calls as we discuss gun violence prevention. Senator Hughes will be joined by Jeff Palmer, Assistant Supervisor with the Philadelphia District Attorney's Gun Violence Task Force, and Adam Garber, Executive Director of Ceasefire PA. If you have a question or would like to join the conversation tonight, press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Again, that's star 3 on your keypad to submit a question or comment to tonight's discussion. And now, without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Jessica. Good evening, everybody. This is Senator Hughes. Welcome to this telephone town hall for all of my neighbors and friends within the 7th Senatorial District. I'd like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I really, really, really appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question, now everybody check this one out, make sure you don't forget. If you want to ask a question, make sure you press star 3 on your phone. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3 on your phone. Press star 3 on your phone. As Jessica said, tonight we'll be discussing gun violence prevention. So just to put this in context, over the last 2 years, the state has increased by well over $300 million what it's doing for gun violence prevention. We've driven out probably about $140 million, $145 million all across the state of Pennsylvania, with a significant portion coming to the city of Philadelphia, to neighborhood-based gun violence prevention organizations that work with young people, organizations that are really having an impact trying to provide a different path for young people so that they don't turn to gun violence. We've also driven probably about $100 million to law enforcement all across Pennsylvania so that our law enforcement folks can have modern, up-to-date equipment. Believe it or not, I was in a police precinct not too long ago, and they were utilizing a Selectric typewriter. The police were utilizing a Selectric typewriter to complete their reports. And I couldn't believe that that's in fact what they were doing, but exactly. And a Selectric typewriter. Most of y'all on this call know what that means. It means that the equipment is outdated, that they don't have the updated equipment to make proper investigations and to not only get the bad guys, the bad actors, the knuckleheads, but let the innocent ones go if they've apprehended someone. So we spent a significant amount of money over the last year and a half to 2 years getting more funds to our law enforcement to give them updated equipment so they can handle their job and handle it at the highest level. We've also driven a significant amount of money towards our local prosecutors, our district attorneys all across Pennsylvania, so that they too have up-to-date equipment and the appropriate staff to make sure that they're moving these cases when someone is apprehended. Making sure they're moving these cases all the way through to prosecution. So those are things that have gone on in Harrisburg. Unprecedented amount of new resources coming through, and we're trying to make these things work. We're trying to expand these resources dramatically. Here's the however, which is why we have to have this conversation tonight. We've spent significant new dollars. It's been an important thing. Your senator's been in the middle of all of that. But we still need common sense gun laws to be passed in Harrisburg at the state level so that we can kind of complete, in many respects, the whole effort. Common sense gun laws like background checks, common sense gun laws like red flag laws have got to become part of the law of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania so we can have a much more robust program to deal with these issues of gun violence in our community. And so tonight's call is to give you the latest on that, make sure you understand where we are with this, and make sure that, you know, you get your advocacy shoes on, that you're calling friends and family and people that you know from across Pennsylvania who may live in districts that they don't have a supportive senator, that they don't have a supportive state representative, and get them to be supportive of these bills. Governor Shapiro has said, if it gets to his desk, he'll sign it into law. It's just got to get there, and that's why we're having this conversation, to update everybody, make sure everybody knows what's going on, and can then turn themselves into advocates. You all can turn yourself into advocates so you can call your legislators and call your senators and make sure this stuff becomes reality. I've got, you know, I always try to bring in some good guests. And remember, press *3 if you want to ask a question. Press *3 if you want to ask a question. And we've got some great guests. And before we go to our questions, we want to hear from our two guests. First, we want to hear from, they'll make a brief opening statement, then we're going to go right to questions, is probably the state of Pennsylvania's leading advocacy organization around gun violence, and that is Adam Garber. Adam is the executive director of Ceasefire Pennsylvania. Adam, welcome to our telephone town hall. Say hello to everybody and give us your quick opening comment.
Well, thanks for having me, Senator Hughes, and thanks for organizing tonight's call. I'm here in Philadelphia, and as everyone I think on the call knows, we've lost 1,000 people in Philadelphia and more in the surrounding counties of Montgomery County to gun violence in the last 2 years. And so here at Ceasefire PA, we are working every day to ensure that everyone can feel safe when they go to out to go to work, when they send their kids to school, when they go play in the park, or even you know, just walk around their neighborhood. And I think that while, you know, really under your leadership, we've done an amazing job funding the community programs that will help stop this, you're exactly right. But I'm pretty excited about tonight's call. For the first time in years, we passed monumentous, huge gun safety bills with bipartisan support out of the House, and now we've got some work that we'll be talking about to do in the Senate. So it's big, and there's some real significant movements that's going to save lives.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate your hard work up here in Harrisburg. And I'm up in Harrisburg right now trying to get these last 2 weeks of the state budget done and hopefully get some common sense gun laws passed here in Harrisburg. Our second guest is Jeff Palmer. Jeff Palmer is the assistant supervisor with the Philadelphia District Attorney's Gun Violence Task Force. Jeff, welcome to the telephone town hall tonight. Let's hear what you've got to say, and then right after you finish, Jeff, we're going to start taking questions, okay?
Great. Thank you, Senator. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jeff Palmer, the Assistant Supervisor of the Gun Violence Task Force, as the Senator said. So our name is a task force because we are actually a unique hybrid between the District Attorney's Office as well as law enforcement. We are completely funded by the type of state funding that Senator Hughes was talking about. We are funded by a grant that allows prosecutors in the District Attorney's Office to work with special agents from the State Attorney General's Office to investigate illegal firearms transfers. That's half of what we do. The other half of what we do is we do long-term investigations into what we call the drivers of crime in the neighborhoods of Philadelphia. So these are the few bad actors in our wonderful neighborhoods that are driving a lot of crime and committing a lot of the shootings. And we investigate their non-fatal shootings, their homicides, and their illegal firearms transfers, and then we charge them. In addition to the grant that initially funded our unit, we've just been the recipient of a brand new grant from state funding that is going to allow us to we've already started hiring staff, more than double the size of our unit, as well as we're now, the forensic assets that the Senator was talking about, we're now going to be running a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week lab for the Philadelphia Police Department out of our office, the Gun Violence Task Force, where cell phones, pursuant to search warrant, will be able to be forensically extracted 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We also have in-house experts that can do cell site location tracking, which is a highly specialized way when you're investigating a shooting, trying to figure out where a suspect may have been based on their cell phone. But we have, in the last just few months, thanks to state funding, been able to significantly increase our personnel as well as our forensic resources that we can use in our work to stop gun violence in our communities.
Jeff, thanks so much, man. Thank you for the good work that you're doing in the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office with all of those individuals from all portions of law enforcement working together. Really, really appreciate that. Remember, folks, we're going to start taking questions now. If you want to ask a question, press star 3. Press star 3. We're going to be finishing up in about 45 minutes, around about 7 p.m., because we know everybody's got stuff that they got to get done, but we felt that this is an important conversation. And remember, once again, the House of Representatives passed House Bill 1018, which is a red flag law, which would be hugely important in terms of making sure that folks who may be going through a crisis, folks who may be suffering from mental health issues or domestic violence issues or something along that line, would not have easy access to weapons. They also passed a background check law for bill, excuse me, a background check bill so that all purchases of firearms in Pennsylvania will be subject to a background check. Those bills moved out the House, moved into the Senate, and they're stalled in the Senate because, unfortunately, there's not been enough action and activity with the Senate Republicans specifically. And this is not political. This is just fact. Senate Republicans control, or the majority in the Senate in Pennsylvania, did not have enough pressure to move these two pieces of legislation. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to everybody tonight. All right? So press star 3 at any time on your phone. We're going to start taking questions. Jessica, who's up first?
First, we have Beverly from North Philly with a question related to what you were just talking about.
Hey, Beverly.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. What's your question, Beth?
I know it's a simple question, but I can't help it. Can we get rid of all the frickin' Republicans that don't want to do anything about gun control? I know I vote every year. Trust me, I vote all the time. It has to be something else that can be done.
We thank you for being, you're what we call a super voter. We thank you for that. You know, and really what has to happen is probably two things. One is those individuals have to be called and reached out to and contacted all across Pennsylvania and let them know that this is important legislation that can save people's lives, and it's common sense legislation. And we'll give you the website momentarily where you can go and find the appropriate senators and House members where you'll be able to find who you may want to call. And that's the first thing. Second thing is, you know, on Election Day, in the next time to elect a new state Senate, it is November of 2024. And they have to know that things are changing from a political perspective and that people are concerned about these issues. But that's the next time that the state legislature is on the ballot, November of 2024. Half the state Senate will be up, and the entire House of Representatives will be up for re-election. So far, the House of Representatives is doing a good job with respect to common sense gun laws. We need the Senate to do more. And we're getting ready to put out that website any moment where you can find out the list of legislators and how to reach them all across Pennsylvania. So thank you, Beverly.
Yep, and that website is actually, it's the Find Your Legislator tool. The website is www.legis.state.pa.us. And again, that's www.legis.state.pa.us.
That's a lot of need to find one that goes better than that one, but we'll work with that one until we get a better one. All right? who's next, Jessica?
Next, we have Amir from West Philadelphia. Amir, you're live.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Hey, Amir, how are you? I'm doing pretty good.
So my question was, does it make more sense to give people guaranteed employment rather than enforcing stricter gun laws? I actually had a conversation about it with my dad a while ago.
Okay. So, Amir, I know Amir from a long time ago. I wonder if this is the same Amir. Wow. Amir, I would say it's not an either-or issue. I would say, Amir, it's a both-and. We can find employment opportunities for lots of folks who don't necessarily have those opportunities right now, but we also need to have common-sense gun laws passed in Pennsylvania. You know, it is a good job is a good job that pays well. Is always, as they say, the best social program, and that is clearly would be helpful, but I also believe that having common sense gun laws in place makes as much sense as well. We don't have to be in a situation where we have this or we have that. We need to have this and we need to have that. We need to have employment opportunities for everyone, no matter their situation. And we need to have common sense gun laws. So that's what we're thinking about right now, man. And I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you very much.
Hey, Senator, can I jump in and add one piece to this?
Go ahead, Adam. I'm sorry.
No, that was great. I mean, I think, Amir, the other piece of this is some of the violence we're seeing in Philly right now is just people honestly randomly shooting people during bad moments when they run into each other on the street. I was on the Broad Street line a few weeks ago, and they had to skip a stop because two people had an altercation, didn't know each other, one of them shot the other. And so I think that while we have, you know, as we said, we've been invested a lot, and a lot of those fundings are going towards jobs programs and, you know, investing in community violence prevention efforts that are really doing that economic support. When, you know, we've all had bad days on the subway, we've all gotten frustrated, and when a gun's there, it's just more likely to end in a shooting. So that's really why we've got to do both things, because we're not going to be able to solve all of people's anger and bad days.
No. We have to create an attitude and a philosophy that just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you pull out your gun and start shooting at somebody. That is just unacceptable. But we can do both. There's a third component, which is the services and maybe mental health services and programs and things that young people especially can be involved in, where it gives them a new way, a new hope, a new opportunity. All of that can be done and should be done. And while we're doing all of that, we need to also make sure that we're getting these common sense gun laws passed. So, Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Bilius from West Philadelphia. You're live.
Yes. Good evening, Senator, and your guests.
What's up, Bilius? How you doing, man?
Good. My question is, how are all these ghost guns getting in the community? How they just coming in?
That's a good question. I'm gonna ask Jeff from the, I know, cause Jeff from the, district attorney's office has been, working in this space around ghost guns. Jeff, you got anything on that one?
I do, Senator, thank you. So yeah, the big problem with a ghost gun is anybody can buy them. Until the gun is assembled, the way the law is in Pennsylvania right now, it is not considered a firearm. It's basically considered spare parts. So anybody can go buy a ghost gun. We see and there's no limit on how many you can buy. We have cases where people go to the gun shows and they sell the ghost guns at the gun shows, and they will purchase, you know, huge bags of just multiples of these ghost gun kits, and then, you know, drive them back to wherever they're going, you know, and do whatever they're going to do, which is usually then assemble them and then sell them off the books to anybody who has the money.
Now, luckily, at the gun shows, we do have law enforcement at the gun shows. We have special agents from our gun violence task force, and they are obviously very interested in anybody who would purchase a large quantity of ghost guns. But the fact remains that a lot of what I just described is perfectly legal under the law in Pennsylvania right now. And there's been some executive orders on the federal side that have tried to change some of that, but of course they're all being challenged in court right now. But, you know, the problem with the ghost guns is so much of it is legal, so I think it goes to what the senator's saying about the need for common sense gun laws, because, I don't think anybody thinks you should be able to go to a gun show with a garbage bag and buy, 50 ghost gun kits and then put every single one of those on the street that whoever it is wants to pay for one.
So I'm going to, Jeff, and that's a very good response. I'm going to dive into or ask you and Adam to explain exactly what a ghost gun is, because not everyone truly understands what a ghost gun is. Jeff, you want to start off on that? You kind of talked a little bit about people buying component parts. The gun is broken down into several different parts, and people buy the parts separately and kind of assemble it themselves, and then there's no identification on them. Am I saying that correct, Jeff?
Yeah, Senator, you are. So a ghost gun, some people refer to them also as 80% guns, and I think that name kind of explains to you what they are. So really what it is a kit that allows you to build 80% of a gun. And the reason why it's called an 80% gun is because there's a longstanding thing under federal law that basically says as long as a gun is 80% or less of the gun, it is 80% or less of the part, it's not technically legally a gun yet. So that's why anybody can buy those kits, because they're, so to speak, 80% gun. So what the ghost gun kit includes is it includes a form that allows you then to take the, it comes with the bottom part of the gun, as well as then a form where you attach it to the bottom piece of the gun that comes with the kit, and you can then drill through. It shows you how to drill into the lower receiver of the handgun to then attach the slide, which does not come with the kit. So that's the 20% that's missing. You can either purchase that separately, because again, that's only 20% of a gun, so you don't need to show any background check to get that. So you can either just make a separate purchase for a slide that'll fit, or you can, some people, we'll just buy them on the street or find them or take them off old guns. But essentially it's 80% of a gun that you then just have to add the other 20%, which you can also purchase separately, and then you have a whole gun on your hands.
Thank you, Jeff. And I wanted to get that explanation out so that everyone understands exactly what a ghost gun is and it's probably its most basic definition. As many of us are doing a lot of our shopping online, you don't have to just walk up to somebody in the neighborhood and say, hey, I need one. You can have this transaction online and have this stuff delivered to your home or to whatever location you want the stuff delivered to. It really is a problem. It is a growing number of firearms on the streets of every city and every county. And we've got to figure out, we just need more help politically to get some common sense gun laws passed so we can clamp down on ghost guns. Thanks, Jeff. Jess, who's next, Jess?
Next we have Tina from Winfield. Tina, you're live.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tina.
Hey, Tina.
I love the conversation so far. Thank you for allowing me to speak. We talked a lot about common sense regulation of guns, right? I can't go to my Rite Aid or CVS and purchase Sudafed without showing ID. I also feel like when you talk about the ways around it, even if we can protect the things that we know we can do, like nobody should be able to go to a gun show and purchase certain anything, honestly, without showing identification. It's accountability. We should be able to track the purchases. So I just wanted to talk about common sense. When you refer to common sense regulation regarding our laws, our processes, our procedures, it really is difficult. And it's almost like misleading to believe that common sense is like everybody's thought process. They don't understand it. And when we talk about mental health, emotional intelligence, concrete things, right? Like we should be concretely putting emotional intelligent curriculum in our public school system. Concrete things. We want our police officers to know different agencies in our community that are mental health agencies. So they can partner with people by name, partner with people by program, expertise. It feels like if we're operating with early intervention, then it will be common sense when we start electing different officials that represent the people because they have a better outlook. They are insightful. They have really good judgment because they have really good, amazing mental health services and emotional intelligence curriculum.
Tina, thank you. Thank you very, very much for that that explanation and your perspective. You're absolutely right, and I'd have to unpack a whole lot of what you said. The need to have these conversations at earlier ages and have them in appropriate environments with the appropriate people who are trained to have those conversations so that communities can have a different perspective of themselves and then turn in another direction when offered the opportunity to get a gun illegally and then use it inappropriately illegally. That's some additional work that needs to be done and needs to be part of this conversation. And we're committed to being part of all of that. A number of the organizations that have been funded through the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency and our Violence Intervention and Prevention Program, a number of them are grassroots, neighborhood-based organizations that have components like behavioral health services attached to them, going out in communities and having honest conversations with folks in the neighborhood. The Level Up program at Reverend Campbell's Church, Aaron Campbell over there at 47th and Chester Street, does a wonderful job of bringing in, it's like it created like a safe haven for young people where they can come over and just hang out and get services, get food, okay, get mental health services, help them find a job, but equally as important, get out of harm's way. And that Level Up program is seeing 400 or 500 people every week. Yeah, Philly, another program also in West Philadelphia, doing a very similar thing. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on out there. We need to make sure we're taking advantage of it. We need to expand those resources, expand those services. And while we're doing all of that, we need to have a change in these laws in Harrisburg. And Adam, you've been working on this change in these laws for a while. When we had this conversation about common sense gun laws, what is it that you're thinking of right now, right in front of us, with some other ideas as well?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Tina said, and we really think in this calling of life saving, because I think what we're really talking about is laws that will save lives, that are parents, that are children, and all. And the thing, you know, I can't stress it enough, the thing that really changed is, you know, on the House side first was we got to have a vote. And I remember a few weeks before the vote, people were telling me, well, look, there's going to be no Republican who's going to vote with you. We didn't get a lot of them, but we got 8 of Republicans to vote for background checks and to vote for extremist protection orders. And that's really starting to mirror where their constituents are, because this is the only place this issue is partisan is in Harrisburg, where you spend a lot of time, Senator. You know, I think when we go out and we talk to folks in Montgomery County, when we talk to folks even in rural Pennsylvania, up in Wayne County or something, right, like they think that these laws are, you know, kind of common sense. They think, oh, yeah, you should have to get a background check if you're going to buy a gun. You know, you should not, someone who's threatening to shoot up a school should not have access to a gun, and we need a mechanism to deal with that. And the person, you know, I think there's a lot of people, and I think, you know, it's right. We've got to call all the senators in other parts of the state. Don't maybe, you know, call Senator Hughes' team to say he's doing an awesome job. But the two people, I have to just say, who really are going to make the decision if this is going to move forward. And so if you've got your pen handy, I'm going to give you two phone numbers. here is Senator Baker. She's the head of the Judiciary Committee. That's where these bills have to go. And we were just sitting down with her staff, and honestly, they were saying she's not going to pull them up for a vote. But we saw that that can change when she hears from her constituents and from people across the state, because they keep talking about what's going on in here in Philly. And so if they're going to talk about what's going on here in Philly in the Southeast, then they should listen to what we want to have happen. Because if they're going to put us and they're going to blame our problems, we should be calling them and saying, look, our problems in Philly, the crisis, the loss of lives, is because you won't vote on these life-saving laws. So her number is 717-787-7428. 717-787-7428. And I would call and say, yeah, I'm not in your district, but you keep talking about what's going on in Philly, and as a Philadelphian or as a resident of Montgomery County, as someone who spends time down here, I want these life-saving laws. And tell her that, and then call Senator Ward, who's the majority leader, who's the Senate president, and say the same thing. Because those are the two folks who are going to make the decision. And I'll give one more number. We'll get to the next question, which is 717-787-6063. And then find your friends in their districts. But I'm not going to go through what their districts look like. So go to that website that was given out earlier and find what their districts are and find some people there that you know. And call me up at I Will Save a Class P. That's what CSIRE PA has been doing. We have 500 people in Harrisburg in March. That's what drove the help drive this change. We have 3,000 Pennsylvanians called 10 Republican legislators, many who voted for this. That's what's driving this change. Your work with your friends and your work with your, you know, tell these stories is really what's going to push this through the Senate.
I've got a couple websites that I want folks to go to. The first one is ballotpedia.org. And I'm going to spell that out, BALLOTPEDIA.ORG, ballotpedia.org. And then you can look up who represents me, and they'll find the way to contact those individuals. There's also the Committee of 70s website, and that's 70.org. That's SEVENTY.ORG, 70.org, SEVENTY.ORG. And I bet you, if CSIRE put their website out there, there's a link at the CSIRE website. I bet you.
Go to ceasefirepa.org, and if you just even sign up or drop a note on the volunteer link, which is on our main page, we'll get an organizer even to help you out and get you more engaged.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Jess, who's next?
Next we have Steve. Steve, you're live with the senator and his guest.
Hi, Senator. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, Steve.
Question for you. Is the pushback from the legislature, Is that sticking down party lines?
Yes. The vote in the House was on the legislation for lost and stolen was 100 Republicans plus, I guess, one Democrat,
mm-hmm,
and 100 Democrats. So there was one Democrat who chose to vote with 100 Republicans, and so therefore that went down as well. But it's largely a Republican driven pushback on passing these common sense gun laws. That is definitely the case in the Senate. I dare say if these two matters came up, red flag laws came up, and background checks came up, all 22 Democratic senators would vote for it. Okay, Steve?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Next, we have Aaron from Manayunk. Eric, Aaron, you're live.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi. Thank you so much for having us on, and this has been a great conversation.
Hey, Aaron.
Hi. So I wanted to kind of go back to, you were talking about the funding that the police department
are getting for their for new technology. And I know I've seen a couple different departments in Philadelphia here. They look like, you know, a rundown elementary school kind of thing. So I'm just curious as to where we can see more information about that program and who is doing the oversight for the spending for this program, because especially in Philadelphia, it's never been really been an issue about them having enough funds and more of an issue of how it is spent.
The big umbrella organization at the state level that deals with the funding is the Pennsylvania Commission on Crime and Delinquency, PCCD. They are the entity where the money is appropriated through the budget to PCCD, and then PCCD goes through the process of examining applications, and then once they approve the applications for the funding is then driven out there. And Aaron, I think you're in Manion, I think I saw that correctly. Both myself and Councilman Curtis Jones Jr., we sit on the board of PCCD, so we have some oversight responsibility there. The money that came to the Philadelphia Police Department, a significant portion of it is for the establishment of a new forensic unit, which is a forensic unit. This is not Law and Order or one of those TV shows, but I'll do the best I can. A forensic unit is a major operation that does all of the technical, the detailed investigations of the guns, the chemicals, the crime scenes, and all that kind of stuff. A little bit like Law and Order, not that kind of stuff. A little bit like that kind of stuff. All right, you know. But they, you know, the autopsy reports, and they look through all that kind of stuff. And that's a highly technical facility. By driving these new dollars, it's my understanding that the city is looking to build a brand new facility, upgrade all of that equipment, and in fact add a number of individuals to their team to actually do the work. Now, the city of Philadelphia obviously has to be responsible for that because they're the one that's going to implement all of that. PCCD will have oversight responsibilities. We'll look for reports and updates and things of that nature to make sure that everything is going well. But that is a huge, that will be extremely important for the city of Philadelphia. And folks should know, it doesn't get talked about a lot, but the folks who do this kind of work right now, who do that forensic kind of work right now in the city of Philadelphia's police department, are rated some of the best in the country, even with resources that are just far less than what it is that they need. We still have a great team of individuals who work tirelessly trying to piece all of this stuff together, and they need more resources. We need to get them upgraded technology so they can have 21st century operations, and we need to get them the help that we can, and our communities, I think, will be a lot safer once they implement this whole brand new operation. Okay?
So, one, I can see some of that,
yeah,
too.
I'm just talking. I got the experts on the line. That's why I got the experts. I'm just talking. All right? I think, was that Jeff? Is that you, Jeff?
Yeah, it was, Senator.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
We just got a PCCD grant, so thank you for that. And, you know, I already talked a little bit about the cell phone lab that we're establishing with that money. But in addition to that, also I've been in many meetings with the police department, and we're putting up quite a number of city cameras, so cameras around the city in areas that have been identified as places where the majority of shootings are occurring. So really what we're trying to do is we're going to put up enough city cameras and license plate readers, and I'll get into what a license plate reader is and why we need them in a minute, that'll essentially won't allow anybody to get into those areas to do a shooting without them showing up either on a license plate reader or a camera, so that way, you know, we can look back if there's a shooting or something like that, and we'll know exactly who was in that area at that time. And now this isn't something that we're putting up all over the city. I wouldn't, you know, tell you to worry that when you're walking around, you're always going to be on camera or something like that. This is just in a few select areas of the city that have been you know, seen an overwhelming amount of violence. But also in terms of the forensic center that the senator was talking about, it's really going to change the game for us. I talked to the DNA lab and the firearms identification unit, which are two components of those the forensic center that is being worked on. I talk to them pretty much every day, and to say that those two units are overwhelmed with the, you know, right now is an understatement. We need the type of DNA analysis that the DNA lab can do in almost all of our cases now, and they do not have enough personnel even working, you know, all the time, round the clock, and frankly, actually having to send some of the work out, which is not really economically efficient, to other private labs because they can't afford to hire enough staff. So now they're going to be able to plus up their staffing. The Firearms Identification Unit, which does all of our ballistics in the city of Philadelphia, the same thing. And the Crime Scene Unit, which is also overwhelmed, is also hiring more staff as well. And these are things now that, you know, our district attorneys, our assistant district attorneys are trained to use in almost every case now. So that means there's been much more of a demand for these types of services. Oh, and I realize I promised you an explanation of the license plate reader. These are automated machines that can read license plates, like when a car drives by. Until recently, there was really only one or two license plate readers per police district in the city of Philadelphia, and it just simply wasn't enough. I mean, frankly, it was almost as good as not having any. But now in these areas that are overwhelmingly, where we're seeing the overwhelming amounts of violence, there's going to be more of these license plate readers so we can hopefully, you know, so we will catch, you know, the very few bad actors that are, you know, causing all of the violence in these neighborhoods.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Thank you.
He's the expert. I'm like, yep, talking over.
You're both experts.
Jeff is a very good expert, and you're an expert too, Adam. Don't you think I'm leaving you out, all right? Jessica, who's next?
Next we will go to Taylor in West Philly. Taylor, you're live.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Senator.
Thanks, Taylor. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, great.
Great. So my question, and honestly, I think my question was kind of answered because they are similar to Tina and Amir's, but I guess, you know, I'm very curious about what can be done at the community level to really, you know, I guess get gun violence at the root, you know, whether that's through community engagement, what can be done for Philadelphia's youth and adolescents who we see, you know, utilizing guns in high numbers. You know, I'm curious about that because I feel very conflicted with it becoming more of like a punitive issue, which isn't good either.
It is. I think, Taylor, I think it's a combination. I think we've got to do the law enforcement piece. We've got to get the bad actors off the street and prosecute them. But we must make significant investments in services and programs for young people, and they've got to be driven, I think, in many respects by organizations that are in the community, in the neighborhood, working with young people on a daily basis and have a keen understanding of what young people are going through. So that's what in the beginning, when we first started, we talked about, gosh, it's probably close to $145 million that have been driven into a new program created at the state called the Violence Intervention Program, also run by PCCD. The overwhelming amount of those dollars have gone to neighborhood-based grassroots organizations all across Pennsylvania, and especially Philadelphia did a very good job in terms of its application process, or the organizations in Philadelphia did a very good job. I mentioned a few of them earlier. Level Up, Emir, which is Every Murder is Real, Yeah Philly, a number of organizations like that have received funding, some as small as about $50,000 or so, some as large as almost close to $1 million. They've gotten to do programs And we need to. The truth of the matter is these neighborhoods have been starved for programming for many, many years. We really need to continue this kind of support, continue these kind of resources going into these communities. If you, I believe I have an access point on from SenatorHughes.com. Where you can, I'm looking at Jessica because she knows these things, where you can go to my website and get, and there's a link there that connects to the organizations that have been successful recipients, or you can probably also go to the PCCD website. But go to West Center Hughes website first, because mine is the better website anyway. So, and what I would recommend, what I would really recommend to anybody and everybody who is interested in trying to deal with this issue of gun violence in a neighborhood-based level and a community-based level, that you connect with organizations that are doing this work, that you work with them, you sit down and talk with them, stop by their offices. They're all very much locally based in the communities in North Philadelphia and Roxborough and Winfield and Overbrook and Milk Creek and all kinds of places all throughout the city, but definitely all throughout the 7th Senatorial District, and just sit down and work with them and see where you might want to fit in and might want to be part of their effort. So really recommend that highly. Getting off the sidelines and getting involved. It can be about looking for legislation. It can, you know, work with Ceasefire. I'm going to ask Adam to say a few words in a minute. Work with Ceasefire and their organization about the organizing that they're doing. Or it could be just going, you know, the Urban League is a great organization that we work very closely with. All kinds of organizations are out there. They're looking for people who want to make a difference, and we're encouraging people to get up, get into it, and get involved. With some of my more veteran folks from this fall, y'all know where I pulled that line from. Y'all know the song I pulled that line from. But that's what they're looking for. Jess, is there a link to our website?
Yep, if you go to the Senator's website, there's a tab, Services, and if you navigate to Useful Links, there will be a link there.
Okay, so SenatorHughes.com, SenatorHughes.com. Adam, I know you got all kinds of stuff that you're connected to. What would you recommend folks who are on this call, in addition to fighting for passage of the legislation, what would you recommend to folks for getting involved?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to do the community work, the groups that, you know, Hughes mentioned so many more of our partners, I spend a lot of time with them, and I'm honestly in awe of the work they do. It's very different than my work. And I do think to the, you know, question, like, we've got to do it all. So after we hold someone accountable, we've got to get them back up on their feet, and a lot of that money is going to those reentry programs. All that money, like, 3 years ago, there was $0 at the state level for those sort of programs, basically. And as Senator Hughes said multiple times, we have hundreds of millions of dollars invested now in communities. That work has been driven by my team and other organizers and those groups making the case. And it wouldn't have happened if people hadn't gone to Harrisburg, hadn't made the case for why we need those community investments. And we have to do the same thing now on advocacy for those gun violence prevention laws, because all those survivors I talked to, almost all of them are saying to me, yeah, I want more in the community, and I want to stop the guns flooding my community that are allowing the shootings to happen. So things we're doing right now, we are holding community town halls. We've just held one in Delaware County. I know we're planning one up in Montgomery County right now, and done it in Philly, to bring people like this together in a real-world setting. You know, like I said earlier, the 3,000 calls to those Republican legislators was driven mostly by our volunteers. We've got voter lists. You can jump on the phone from the comfort of your home, have some food in front of you, you know, and make calls to constituents and tell them why, as a Philadelphian, you want action on gun violence, and they need to call Senator Ward, or they need to call some of those senators that we've got to get off the sidelines here. And then I've got to tell you, you've got to tell these stories. One of the projects I'm really excited about is we all read every day in the paper the toll of this crisis. They're heart-wrenching, and I bet everyone on this call knows someone, unfortunately, who's lost someone. And we've got to take those stories carefully, and we've got to connect them. We've got to understand how background checks prevent those shootings from happening and connecting those together, or how extremist protection orders could. I think one of the, you know, worst stories, I was just at Roxborough High School about a week ago. Folks probably remember the horrific shooting, remember the story about Nick Elizalde, and I've been working with his mom, Meredith. And the person who bought those bullets was a felon, was not legally allowed to buy ammunition. But because we don't have background checks on ammunition, he could go in and the system trusted him. That's just not going to work. And so we've got to tell those stories in our communities and in the news to really drive those solutions forward. So I really do think it's both of these things. And I can't say enough. Come to our website. Call me myself somewhere on our website. Probably you can call me any time of day. I might regret that comment right now. You know, we are ready to get involved, and we can advocate together for the money to help people re-enter, to help get those services to use, and for the gun safety solutions that we're really talking about tonight.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you, man. What's that website?
Really easy, ceasefirepa.org. One word, ceasefirepa.org.
There you go, ceasefirepa.org. Thank you, Adam. We're getting into the last 7 or 8 minutes of our telephone town hall tonight. We're going to try to get a number of these phone calls through. Jessica, who's next?
Next we have Wade from University City. Wade, you're live with the Senator.
Hello, Senator. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
All right. What's going on, Wade?
Pretty good.
Good. Everything's good. Are you all coordinating with DHS and school district as far as school safety in reference to what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The school district, Dr. Watlington and his team, you know, the other thing that I'm involved in is, I'm sure you're aware, Wade, is trying to dramatically increase the funding for public education across the state and trying to deal with that judge's order that Pennsylvania funds education unconstitutionally. So we got to deal with that, which means a tremendous amount of dollars coming in to help fortify our schools and get them where they need to be. When I say fortify them, I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily with police and barricades and stuff like that. To get these kids the number of teachers that they need, the updated materials that they need, so they can get a chance to get a 21st century education. So everyone is trying to work together. In all of this, what we're doing here in Harrisburg is trying to coordinate with the city and with the school district of Philadelphia. Of course, the city runs DHS, and the school district of Philadelphia is its own entity. We're all trying to increase the amount of services and make sure that folks are talking to one another so that there's smooth handoffs with easy information that's shared between someone at DHS who knows a young person that may be, you know, in harm's way, someone in the school district who has a young person who may need access to services so they can get connected to DHS, and also whatever we can do to help that out of Harrisburg. So, yeah, we're all talking, all trying to increase our performance, get these resources, and do a better job, all right? And really save some lives. So thanks, Wade. That's what's going on, man. Who's next, Jeff?
Great, thank you. Next we have Arlene from North Philadelphia. Arlene, you're live.
Hi, Senator and guest. I had a question and just, I guess, a statement. My question was just the funding that you guys received or whoever received the funding just being held up by the Republicans, the majority of Republicans, and we won't be voting on the new legislation until November of 2024, then that means nothing's being done because the money is still on hold until they so we can get enough of them to agree to confirm the legislation that's already been passed in a couple of houses.
So Arlene, the money will not be held up. The issue is the legislation is being stopped, is not being voted on in the Senate. And that's, it already passed the House. The governor said if you get it past the Senate and there's no changes, I'll sign it. He sends a signal that he'll sign common sense gun laws. So what we have to do is put the pressure on the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, to make sure that they bring up House Bill 1018, which is the red flag law, all right, which passed the House. They can vote on it in the Senate. They bring up House Bill 714, which is the background checks bill, all right? They can vote on that in the Senate because it's already passed the House of Representatives, and the governor said if it gets to my desk and it hasn't changed and it's still common sense gun law, then I'll sign it. So that's where the pressure has got to be applied. I assure you, and Adam, you can speak to this in these last couple minutes here, I assure you that red flag laws and universal background check laws, they have overwhelming popularity. I mean, we're talking about 80 and 90% popularity and 80 and 90% in Republican districts. Adam, am I right on that?
Yeah, every poll puts them 80, 90% Republican, Democrat, whether you own a gun or you don't own a gun, you know, whether you identify as a conservative or a libertarian or a liberal, they're wildly popular. The Republicans in the Senate are wildly out of touch with their constituents. And it's hard to imagine change is going to happen till it happens. It's hard to imagine till it happens. And so I do firmly believe that if we shame them enough, if we show them enough what their failure to act is costing us, that they might act. And you know what? If they don't, then we made it very clear to their constituents and to the rest of the state that they have cost 1,800 lives, 1,900 lives a year across the Commonwealth. And that is valuable, frankly, too, unfortunately. And it will help us make the change we need to have happen in 2024 and 2025.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you very much. Jeff, did you have any closing comments? Now would be the time. What do you want to say to the folks, Jeff?
Thank you, Senator. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for being here. It's really important for me, and I know everybody in the district attorney's office, to hear your voices. So I would just encourage you, like everybody's been doing, to speak up, tell your story, tell the story of the people that you love to anybody who will or won't listen, because, you know, you may think that we're not listening, but we are, and I can tell you that I hear a lot of voices that, you know, maybe you don't think that I do, and we have a very hard job, but it's hearing you all and how important the work that we do and the impact that the work makes, and hearing that from you all, it's what keeps us going, but also hearing what you want to be different and what you want to be changed that helps me to change and keeps me going as well. So just keep doing things like this, keep showing up, keep speaking your truth, and it's important to me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Jeff. Thank you very much, Adam. Appreciate you. CeasefirePA.org. CeasefirePA.org. Did I get that website out there right? Adam, you
did, and that is great. And SenatorHughes.com. Thank you so much, Senator.
A turnabout is fair play. Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Adam, Executive Director of Ceasefire PA. Thanks very much, Jeff, the Assistant Supervisor of the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, District Attorney's Gun Violence Task Force. This has been a great conversation. Just as we want to remind folks, that first of all, thank you to our guests. Thank you for participating in our telephone town hall. To those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us great suggestions, we really appreciate it. Don't give up on this gun violence fight. Do not give up on this gun violence fight. We can win on this. We can win on this. If you didn't have a chance to ask a question, you can remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office in Philadelphia at 215-879-7777 or simply visit my website at SenatorHughes.com. Jessica, do I have everything?
Yep, that's everything.
You sure I've covered everything?
Yes, we have covered all our bases. Thank you to everyone for joining us tonight, and have a wonderful night.
Great. Thank you very much, Jess. Thank you.